and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
Hey, 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 let's go. Hey, 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 let's go. Hey, 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 let's go. Hey, 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 let's go.
All right, we continue with ESPN 680 105.7. Jason Anderson with you. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will talk with Myron Metcalf. He is from ESPN. Get his thoughts on college basketball. A lot of discussion there in the first hour about roster construction, which will certainly be something we talk about a decent amount of time, because there's going to be the what-ifs, the questions remaining about who returns and who's going to stay in the draft, and if there's going to be any transfers or anything like that. So we will certainly be talking about that, continuing to discuss that. Keldon Johnson going pro, but leaving open the possibility of returning. Even saying, as one of the texters pointed out in the previous hour, that if he's not a lottery pick, he would return to Kentucky. Tyler Hero has yet to make an announcement one way or another. I think that's only a matter of time before he announces that he's going to put his name into the NBA draft. I think he's I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if either happened. One, if he doesn't put his name in the NBA draft, or two, if he puts his name in the NBA draft and signs with an agent. I think the middle ground is going to be there, much like Keldon Johnson for Tyler Hero. Puts his name in the draft, doesn't sign with an agent. I think it's just a matter of time before that decision is made. Higgins ends all the speculation about if he was going to go pro or put his name in the draft or transfer or anything like that. He isn't even going to put his name in the draft. He's just simply returning. He's got a long way to go, in my opinion, before he's going to be an NBA player. And there was a time in the middle of the season where you thought he might be drafted on potential based on how well he was defending. And then also he was becoming a scorer that was knocking down open shots. He was getting in transition. He was finishing when called upon. He was dishing out assists. But that has regressed to a decent degree throughout the season, to the point that Houston set up the last play to where they were going one-on-one against Higgins. And Auburn was torching Kentucky, just straight-line drives going to the basket and scoring in the paint. Now, they didn't have the rim protection, but also they didn't have the guys on the wing that were doing much to stop Brown and Harper from going to the bucket. Also, Harper put his name in the NBA draft as well, but I can't imagine he would keep his name there. I think he's not even in the top 60 right now in some of these mock drafts. Like, not even
drafted. I thought
he
was a senior, was he? Just
no, I think Brown's a senior. Bryce Brown was a senior.
Harper's was a senior.
Yeah, Harper's a junior.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Marlo Stanfield, he would have one more year.
It means decent things to expect to have Auburn next year. Not as good, but decent.
Yeah, but I mean, they would still, they would lose Okiki. They lost him the last couple games anyway. They would lose Okiki. I'm trying to think of a couple of other players as well. Bryce Brown is gone. I can't imagine Harper is going to be gone. So he'll be back. That's the thing, though. That's what I'm talking about when we're looking at the preseason way too early top 25s, and we're looking so hyper-focused, and then you start to take into account other teams across the country and what they're doing and what's happening with those programs. Like, Texas Tech was in the Final Four. They lose Mooney. They lose Culver. They lose Odiasi. Like, that's three of their top six players that are gone. And Mooney was the reason why they got past Michigan State. And Culver is the reason, you know, that they were even in the position they were. But Brandon Francis was really good in that game. Like, they're losing some players for Texas Tech. And Gonzaga's losing players. They're losing three of their starters, probably four of their top six as well. So Gonzaga's taking a step back. Duke's taking a step back. North Carolina's taking a step back. Kansas is taking a step back. Just go on down the line. Virginia, I think Ty Jerome's going to keep his name in the draft. I think Ty Jerome won a national championship. There's no real, I want to return because I want to lead Virginia to a national championship, and I think next year's finally the season to do it. He did it this year. And now he's like a fringe first rounder. Hunter's definitely gone. So you start to look around and you go, okay, maybe Michigan State is the team that people are looking at and saying is the number one team in the land. Maybe Michigan, if they get a couple of their guys that are making the decisions pool, and what's the Russian's name for Michigan, those guys are deciding between keeping their name in the draft or returning to Michigan. If both those guys return, then certainly Michigan's going to be up there as well. But you're talking about teams that aren't blowing you away. Like, this is not a year ago where we go, Kansas is stacked. Kentucky was stacked when they got Reed Travis and EJ Montgomery late. And Duke was stacked. Like, those three teams, it was like, who's the number one team in the land? Is it Kansas? Is it Duke? Is it Kentucky? Those are the top three, like, consensus in everybody's preseason were those three teams. And we thought those are, quote unquote, could be great teams there for that that particular season. Like, one of those teams is going to win the national championship. And old Virginia was the number one overall seed, and they return everybody, and DeAndre Hunter is not hurt like he was in that game against the 16 seed, and they went to redemption. They got redemption from the depths of losing to a 16 seed as the number one overall seed. The down and out Virginia Cavaliers, by their own doing, return to win the whole thing. It's a Cinderella story. Cinderella story. ESPN Louisville, your home for the Masters, might be a Cinderella story this weekend. We'll see who ends up winning it. Live updates tomorrow and Friday, and we will have full round coverage on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 2 o'clock both days on ESPN Louisville. Exclusive Masters coverage presented by Baptist Sports Medicine, Woodview Golf Course, and Kentucky Farm Bureau. Magic, who you got this weekend? Who's winning? I know you've been studying it, looking at the odds and the way players are swinging it right now.
I just give off the impression that I'm, you know, just absorbed in the golf game.
Right, yeah. It's more by osmosis for you.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you've been following the PGA Tour so far.
Now I'll take Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson, that's not a bad pick, absolutely. You're going to need somebody that's going to be able to control it on the fairways. You're not going to be able to save a lot there at Masters. We know about those slippery greens. So that starts tomorrow with all the updates throughout the day. And Saturday and Sunday, we'll have all the coverage right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and at 93.9 The Bill. Myron Medcalf comes up at 4:30. We were talking about in that first hour about the decisions that are being made. Jared Harper already declared for the draft. Right, that's what I was saying. He declared, but he hasn't signed with an agent, right? Like, he's not even drafted in a number of different drafts. Like, he's declared, but I doubt, you know, he's going to stay in the draft. I'd have to imagine he's going to return to Auburn. But you know what? Maybe he does. Maybe he stays. Hey, that's fine. Tennessee taking a step back. Jordan Bone, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. You know, those guys are going to be gone. So we'll see how good Tennessee is going to be. So, you start to look around the country and you're going, okay, where's the, like, super great team? People have Virginia up there. It's like, Virginia's going to be a top five team next year. They don't have DeAndre Hunter. Like, that's where we're at in college basketball next year, is they don't have DeAndre Hunter, and people are saying Virginia's still a top five team. Well, aren't we saying they won the championship because of DeAndre Hunter? Like, what do you have, 28-12 in the game? Hit the three in at the end of regulation, hit the three in overtime, carried them down the stretch? Well, he's not there. Yeah, but they're still going to be really good. Okay, what if Ty Jerome leaves? Oh, they'll figure it out. All right, we'll see. All right, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. 267-9680 if you want to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. We do have sound that I want to get into. I was going to play it in the first hour with Andy, with Drew Diener and Perrin Johnson, and what went from a feud that could have blown up to just this.
Update from the shadow producer for The Zone. Harper did sign with an agent.
Oh, I'm sorry then. Really? My bad. Good. I mean, really? Well, now I got to look that up. Let's go. We're going to go Harper, Auburn, declare, draft, agent. Well, I mean, you can have an agent. You can have the okay. Right there. Right at the top. Oh, that's my bad. That is absolutely my bad. Auburn point guard Jared Harper Jr. announced on Twitter he will forego his senior season, enter the NBA draft. He's hiring an agent, won't be eligible to return to school. All right, my bad. Well done. Thank you, Shadow Producer. Better than the real producer. Helping us out there and keeping me on track
you
with
know,
that.
That's fair. That's fair.
I think at ESPN he was ranked like number 61 I mean, good for him. Go get your money. Go get paid because you were phenomenal in the tournament. You were absolutely phenomenal in the tournament. Could have used one more free throw against Virginia. But regardless, who remembers things like that, right? Like Klein for Purdue and the missed free throw that allowed Virginia to move on. Because it's all skill. It's all skill. Man, I apologize for that. So Harper's gone. Brown's gone.
Auburn may not be as good next year.
Okeke's gone. Well, that's what I'm saying. They weren't going to be as good anyway because Brown was gone and Okeke was gone.
If they had Harper coming back, I'm like, yeah, that's a team that could be like a solid
team. If they had Harper coming back, you had somebody that you could sort of build around and say, this is going to be your leader. This guy is mentally as tough as anybody in the game. He is hard-nosed. He is one of those guys that you would just love to have on your team. He hits big shots. He goes to the free throw line and knocks down free throws until the Final Four National Semifinal when they were up two. With one more free throw to go to put him up three. And the rest, as they say, is history. And then Dowdy's gone as well, right? He's a senior. The rest of the country, when we break down rosters and things like that, depending on who returns, next year could be really, really fun for Louisville and Kentucky if Wara returns and they get a grad transfer point guard and Hero returns for Kentucky. I mean, you're talking about maybe the number one team in the land and Louisville being a top 10 team.
It's also weird because we're saying this right now and obviously it's a sports radio thing.
Oh, and crazy things can change.
But it's one of those things where you always have to factor into it. Like, how good is the coach at the program? Because we said the same thing. Texas Tech, they lost their best player to the draft. Beard had that nice run, but he won't do it again. And there's going to be somebody that's just come out of nowhere after losing everyone.
Absolutely.
And I think that could be a team like Auburn. Like, I'm not saying I think it's going to be Auburn, but that's Bruce Pearl's the kind of coach that could get them back into that spot.
Yeah. A texter says, I thought the new rules allowed players to sign with an agent and still return their eligibility. It allows you to, you can hire an agent, you can use them for their guidance, but the story is that he is going to hire an agent and won't return to school. That's the story out of with AL.com, out of Alabama, out of Auburn, Alabama. That Harper will forego his senior season.
Sure, that ain't from Tuscaloosa, and they're lying about it.
That's right. Auburn has Javon McCormick planning to return for his final season in 2019-20. What was he going to transfer? They also have incoming guard Tyrell Jones, who can run the point for the Tigers. Harper started. So hold on. All right, so. Harper's, let's just read, the horse's mouth, damn it, okay? Let's just go right to the horse's mouth. No. First, I would like to thank God for providing me with the talent to play the game that I love and giving me the opportunity to share lifetime memories of our historic run. My dream coming out of high school was to lead Auburn to a national championship, and we were close also to star in other movies and TV shows after The Wire. Same guy, right? He's in Bosch, right?
I'm going to let you have that.
Isn't he Bosch's partner? On Amazon Prime, original, fifth season coming out, 19th of April. Never mind. There are so many people to thank for my success at Auburn. First, I would like to thank Coach Pearl for believing in me, the entire coaching staff, our managers, our fans, my teammates, the best strength coach and athletic trainer, Coach Damon and Clark. You guys were key for me, never missing a game at Auburn, and always, damn, you never missed a game at Auburn? And always having me prepared to compete at the highest level every game. With the support from our coaching staff and my family, I've decided to chase my lifelong dream of playing in the NBA. I have decided to forego my senior year and declare for the 2019 NBA draft and sign with an agent. Again, thanks for the continued support and prayers as I transition to the next journey of my career. Yeah, I mean, in theory, he could. That could be the case, that he could return. Now, if he doesn't get drafted, he can still return. That'd be June 24th. But it sounds like Harper's definitely gone. So, yes, the new rule allows you to use an agent. You can hire an agent as long as the money they are using on you is specifically for the trips for whether it be the combine or to work out and things like that. But if you're going to hire an agent and then take endorsement deals and things like that, then yes, you are not eligible to return that next year. And if you do those things about using the agent, what we just talked about with the new rules, and you stay in the NBA draft and you are not drafted, you can then return by 5 o'clock the next Monday after the draft, which would be June 24th this year. But Harper seems like set. He is definitely gone. Let's see, texter 437-9680. Yeah, some more about the new rules and things like that. Yeah, right. You can do that, but Harper is leaving out that possibility. He is not making that an option. He is definitely gone. Again, so we see different things across the country as what's going on in those spots. All right, 437-9680. Before we have Myron Metcalf on, because it's one of the things that I'm going to bring up with him, as you know, we had Dan Wolkin on yesterday, and he had the piece at USA Today about Rick Pitino and UCLA passing up on the best coach that's out there and Rick Pitino to hire Mick Cronin. And we connected the dots and said, you know, Rick Pitino should go to UCLA. Rick Pitino should go to UNLV. Rick Pitino should go into Nevada. Rick Pitino should go to St. John's. Whoever's open should hire Rick Pitino if they're serious about winning. And in the last year, there has been a cooling of takes and sort of a stringent nature of being forceful and confident and almost defiant in that take. That no, he's not returning. You don't do that. Not return. How much of the how much are you willing to give back? Right? How much moral compass can you are you willing to lose based on your willingness to win? Right. It's that weight scale. You lose some of this on the public perception, but you're gaining in wins. So the public perception and then your view, it's going down, but those wins are going up. And maybe those wins are going up at a much higher rate than what people are perceiving you going down a year removed from things we were talking about and saying, well, Rick's never going to return. Rick's not going to be in college basketball. Rick's not going to coach college basketball. Like, this is a year ago at this time was the first offseason that Rick had an opportunity to get a job. And it didn't happen. He ends up in Greece, wins a championship there. It's the second offseason. And he's continually getting passed over for jobs. But there are more and more people, Dan Wolkin being one of them, who was very stringent, very strong in his opinion of, no, you don't hire that guy. You don't hire Rick Pitino. Look at the things that have been going on. Look at what's still attached to him. Look at I was going to say something was going to be on the midday rush, so I'm not going to do that for Friday. Just look at all of the baggage that's
there
for Rick
Pitino. You're already in too deep on the midday rush.
Yeah, look at all the baggage that's there for Rick Pitino. I'll just go ahead and use that old cliche instead of trying to switch it up and switch it right on into the mixtape on Friday. Not going to happen. But even Dan Wolkin is saying, no, you hire him because the guy wins. And how long is that? Are those shots? Are people going to be making fun of you? How long does that last? Auburn made the Final Four. You know what people were watching? Auburn make the Final Four. You know what people were discussing? That was a damn double dribble that wasn't called. You know what they're not saying? Good, I'm glad that wasn't called because Virginia does it the right way and Bruce Pearl had a show cause. He's a cheater. How many assistant coaches has he hired that have been either involved with the FBI stuff or they were paying or getting bribes to force or lead players to go to a certain direction when they decide on who's going to represent them and they don't even, like, how many guys is Bruce Pearl going to hire that are going to be doing some shady things, and he's got some shady things as well. You know what? Good. I'm glad that double dribble wasn't called. I'm glad they fouled Kyle Guy. That's called karma. Auburn shouldn't be there. They don't play the right way. I didn't read that. Did you see that anywhere, Magic? Did you read that anywhere? Did you hear that? I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. I didn't read it. Nothing like that. I saw a lot of people that were really mad about the double dribble not being called because they, maybe it was America, not sure, found themselves rooting against Virginia and rooting for Auburn, the coach that a year ago said, I'm not talking to you, administrator. Not during the season. I'm not going to talk to you about stuff that's going on with the FBI and I might be involved in. No, not going to happen. Come holler at me when the season's over. Oh, season's over. Extension. All right. And so now Rick Pitino is being talked about in a different light of getting a job. And I said at the beginning of the show with Andy that, to me, there is what is going on right now with the FBI and the way we're viewing Bruce Pearl or even Sean Miller or even Will Wade and especially the sort of national opinion, on Twitter at least, of the way that LSU should handle the Will Wade saga that is going on as to you shouldn't have suspended him. And you've got all these, you know, LSU fans that are now calling for Joe Oliva's job and the president's job because they suspended Will Wade. So these things are going on. There is a cooling of the way we view that. And it reminds me of the 2 years here in Louisville when we were talking about the scandal of, you know, Katina Powell, that had that banner come down that was well documented. I don't know if you were around at that time, but we talked about it a lot. It kind of, you know, dominated the conversation. But in that time frame, you know what we ended up doing at the end? How many times did we say, well, there's strippers and there's prostitutes and there's strippers and the prostitutes? We got to the end to where we talked about it so much that it became so much of a sort of a daily dialect in our, you know, or a you know, just a common, you know, lexicon as the 2 years went past, and certainly talking for 15 hours a week about things like that. It got to the point to where you didn't have the shock of hearing it anymore, right? Like, you didn't have that initial shock of, whoa, when you first heard that, people were taken aback. And people were shocked, and then you hear the NCAA come out and they say how repugnant it is. And absolutely, yes, but as we talked about it so often and said it over and over and over and over in that time. Now looking back, you're like, yeah, it gets back to being that shocking aspect of like, that's right, there were strippers or prostitutes in there, good night. But at the time, it became so much of talk that it took away the edge, the sharpness to that initial reaction, that initial take. I think that's going on with the FBI stuff now. I think when this whole thing happened and the thought about, you know, all these coaches are going to be implicated, Michael Avenatti is now coming out and doing CNBC, you know, interviews about what's going on at Nike. You've got all these things that are happening, and we thought at the beginning of all these different coaches. Now, that still could happen with this trial that's coming up later on this month, because Will Wade wiretapped, Sean Miller has been subpoenaed as well. You know, who else knows where the tentacles of this story are going to ultimately reach and grab? But we've been talking about it since the fall of 17. It's coming up of, you know, in 2 years, in about 4 months. We're talking about being around for 2 years. And this is now, I think, being viewed and talked about in the light, not having that shock, not having that sort of taken aback, not having that initial reaction of, oh my God, they're paying? Like these, sure they know, we know they know. And so much has been, yeah, I don't care. No, I don't care. Do you want to win? Will Wade's winning. You want to win Arizona, Sean Miller? It's almost getting to the Final Four. And now you've got even Dan Walken, who was clutching pearls about Rick Pitino, that is saying, no, you hire Rick Pitino, UCLA. Now you go hire Rick Pitino, St. John's. Why? Because almost 2 years have passed. That's why. Nothing has changed about the information. The information is still the same. Nothing has changed in the last year about what we knew then about Rick Pitino versus what we know now about Rick Pitino. The difference is we've been talking about it for 2 years. We hear the different coaches coming on the, at least being thrown into the mix, and we have our opinions about that. And as our opinions have gone on the last 2 years, we aren't nearly as stringent on it, not nearly as strong as our opinion as Rick Pitino shouldn't be coaching anymore. And we look at it, and people were rooting for Auburn and Bruce Pearl to beat Virginia. And people were rooting for LSU because of the fun of what could happen if Will Wade isn't even on the floor and LSU was going to the second weekend, and this is hilarious.
Weird question, but is it fair to say that college basketball has changed even in that short amount of time because of like Bruce Pearl and Will Wade, to the fact that you just don't really care as much about, like, Pitino didn't get validated. He didn't get, you know, proven to have anything attached to him on the other hand. And yet we're looking at Will Wade, who's possibly going to keep his job. Bruce Pearl took the team to the Final Four. It kind of feels like
Bruce Pearl got a contract extension.
It kind of feels like almost the things that he was accused of, or the lack of institutional control that he was charged with, have become maybe not normalized, but acceptable, as long as the product is good enough. And we've seen that when he went over to Greece, his product is still good enough to win.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to have to sell it to a president and all of the same things that we talked about. That has not changed, and it won't be changed in terms of if you're going to hire him. But what I do think has changed is public opinion, at least the initial shock and reaction and sort of strong feelings towards what ultimately came out. 437-9680 text, and then we've got to take a break. We'll bring in Myron Metcalf. Says, the week of bad press argument is false. You think it won't be brought up when he goes to court over the lawsuit, or when U of L vacates wins again, or when U of L misses another postseason, or when Pitino has a 4-game losing streak, question mark. Oh, no, I think when people are talking about it's the initial week of bad press, to where everybody's going to be making their jokes about Rick Pitino. But yes, one of the things that is clearly costing Rick Pitino a job, and I think these are different aspects of it. I think these are all different tentacles of, you know, and parts of hiring Rick Pitino or not. And the same text just says Pitino is suing his former employee for $40 million. Also, Pitino demanded an apology from the Southern District of New York. Pitino can't get out of his own way. I don't disagree with any of those things. And if you're an AD, you're absolutely taking into account the fact that he got fired for a reason that you probably would have fired him at your school. And yet, after firing him in a way that you would have fired him at your school, he's suing that school for $37 million based on what every other AD in America would have done, essentially.
It's kind of like
after the not initially, not with only being the FBI, but with the trial and with the strippitudes. Thank you. As the texter said, it did devolve into you calling them strippitudes and prostitutes after that. And then the FBI, he would have been fired almost anywhere. And yet because of that, even after that, he's still going to sue that school. That's a different aspect than people viewing it and saying, no, no, you should hire Rick Pitino. It's okay now. That, to me, is the public opinion nationally thawing, maybe not across the board, but thawing to a degree that if Pitino would have been hired right away, it would have been like, oh, my God, what are you selling your soul for wins? Now it's, seems like this thing's pretty widespread, and if Rick didn't know, I'm good with it.
Would Pitino agree to a clause in a new contract that says that he's not allowed to sue the universe? I mean, obviously, you'd have to have legal wording
on that.
He
would agree to anything if he got a job right now.
Fair.
He would agree to anything. All right, 437-9680, UPS jobs text line. Texas says Pitino owes a 5-game suspension for the strip. That's right. He does still. And so that's, you know, going to be the case. That still has to be done. Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely. Those are all points. But I feel like the sharpness, the edge of this story has dulled over the year and a half, almost 2 years, the way that it did with the prostitutes, the strippers, and those details that came out initially and continued to pour out over those next couple of months versus at the end when we were talking about it, it didn't have that same effect, that same initial reaction that you had when you heard those words of what was going on in the dorm room. All right, 437-9680 UPS jobs. Text line, DFH company hooking us up with the Mitsubishi Mini Split here in the studio. Give them a shout if you have anything going on with your heating or air conditioning, and well, the last thing you want is in the middle of the summer and that AC to go out. We had that happen a couple of years ago. DFHcompany.com is the spot for you, or you can call 968-6222. There is 24-hour service with DFH. Visit DFHcompany.com or call 968-6222 if you're looking for that attic, sunroom, anything like that, that's a tough room to regulate the temperature. They can take care of you as well with the Mitsubishi Mini Split and all different types of cool stuff going on right now with their heaters and ACs. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, continue rolling. We'll talk with Myron Metcalf. He's next. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Your number one sports option in the afternoon is with The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
All right, we continue with ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you. We head up until 6 o'clock. Dave School's coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk with him about a number of things that we got into in the first hour about PJ Washington gone, Keldon Johnson probably going to be gone, Tyler Hero decision, Hagen's returning, Wara and Enoch decisions that are going to be made, and a couple of other things as well that we will get into. We still have yet to play the Perrin Johnson sound from this morning with Drew Dina that we got to get into, Drew doing, man, I believe that it was an honest mistake, but you still can't make that. Myron Metcalf from ESPN is our guest on ESPN 680 105.7. Myron, how are you, sir?
Doing well, man. How's it going?
It is going just fine. Appreciate you joining us and taking a few minutes out of your day for us. How was the Final Four in your spot in Minneapolis?
It was good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think the building was great. The weather wasn't crazy. It's snowing now, but it wasn't snowing then. So I think people rather had a, pretty much had a good good opportunity to watch some great basketball, enjoy the city, and overall it was good.
Yeah, and it avoided, if it was a week later, apparently it's like, what, 2 feet of snow or something like that coming in Minneapolis this
crazy.
Weekend? So,
yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to close schools or what tomorrow. It's getting wild.
Everybody got out of town just in time. Myron Metcalf is our guest. Okay, what did you make of the championship game, Virginia over Texas Tech? Tony Bennett gets the championship that a lot of people doubted, myself included, if it would ever happen. So what's your take on Virginia being the national champions this year?
I mean, I think they earned it, you know. There were some dicey moments. You know, there are always going to be the questions about Auburn and what happened down the stretch there. Huge shot over Purdue. And then they go to OT with Texas Tech. So you can't say that anything came easy. They really fought for it. And then I think you look at the course of their season, like they lost to Duke twice. And in the second game, Duke made 62%. That's of his right. three-pointers.
Yeah.
Then they lose to Florida State in the ACC tournament, which you can never trust a team in the conference tournament, you know, in terms of judging how good they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So I just felt like their season, they were the most consistent and just the best overall team. They had some dicey moments in the tournament, but they earned it. They gave us a good game. I was surprised by that. I thought it'd be 45-47 or something like that, but they gave us a hell of a game after starting off pretty slow.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought it would maybe get into the 50s. I mean, 118, I don't know that I'd played either side. 118 is such a low number that, you know, if somebody started getting hot offensively that all of a sudden you lose just because one guy drops 25 or something like that. But we had a writer on from that covered Virginia and said, no, this game's going to be played in the 60s. They're going to go over. Virginia will cover. They'll go over and Virginia will cover. I'm like, well, that's only a point. So Virginia wins, but they'll go over. Why do you think it got to the point to where we had an offensive game where most of us, I would say the majority, 99% of the country thought it was going to be a rock fight, a defensive slugfest type game?
Well, I mean, I think the offensive capabilities of both teams were underrated. I mean, you know, you got a Virginia team with a couple of pros and Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter, and then you obviously have a Texas Tech team that has a guy in Jarrett Culver who hasn't played well, but he's a lottery pick kind of player. Matt Mooney is veteran. So I think the offense, if you watch throughout the tournament, Texas Tech's offense had been really good, and Virginia had been good all year. So I think you just saw a couple of teams that showed that if you pick up the pace, they can still compete, and you saw their efficiency. So there was just more talent on the court than I think people really understood. Tariq Owens is a guy who dominated in the Big East before he transferred to Texas Tech. Matt Mooney is a guy who was a star at South Dakota before he comes and joins Tech. And then obviously Virginia has its players, two of which are pros. Kyle Guy might come back as the favorite to win National Player of the Year next year. So definitely a lot of talent on that squad.
Is it does it say anything that Myron Metcalf, our guest from ESPN, does it say anything then to where, and I don't know that you were on this this side of the argument, but does it have us all maybe questioning or pausing next time we look at something and go, well, you're not going to be able to win like that or with that style? That seemed to be the popular opinion on Tony Bennett, and he did. Not only did he make the Final Four, but he won the national championship. Does it give us pause next time we look at something and go, nah, it's not going to work?
No. Because he scored 85 points.
That's a good point.
85 points. I mean, so I don't know. You know, a lot of people are saying that, like, oh, he won with a certain style. I mean, they put up 85 points, more than 70 in regulation. So I just think that was a game that was a pretty typical game in terms of scoring. I haven't looked at the possessions, but you put up 85 points. That's how they won. They won with offense. So the bottom line is this: Virginia's always been a great team, a balanced, efficient team under Tony Bennett. The problem was people could knock that style when it wasn't producing results in the postseason. And then you lose to UMBC by 20 and people go, oh my goodness, this style will never, ever work. But the reality is they're a great team. And they have played one of the slowest paces in the country. And I don't care what anybody says. I know the ratings. I see them. There are a lot of people who don't like that. You know, there are a lot of people who see that and go, that's not for me. They'd rather see Kentucky, Carolina, Duke. But in that game, they scored 85. And I think that was the appeal. The idea that their style could translate to that kind of an offensive output, that to me was the thing that really opened some eyes.
So do I mean, we look at the style then. Is it that style that it's the preferred method of playing a certain way, but then can adjust and outscore a team? Or that was just simply out of the ordinary and they won not playing that style. They won by switching things up. Like, I mean, it, because I would say if they had the ability of doing that all along, but the preferred style was to limit the possessions, then I guess we could still say that style can be successful and win a national championship, but they also can adjust along the way.
Yeah, I think their style is efficiency, though. And I think that what they proved is that if they play a high possession game, they can still be efficient. What they do is they play a low possession game, and they're the more efficient team. That's how they win. But with a higher possession turnout, they still were able to keep up. The other thing is they got pros. Like, I mean, this ain't no team that they put together with a bunch of walk-ons and a couple of cats anybody heard of. I mean, they had DeAndre Hunter's going to be a top 15 pick. Ty Jerome, to me, is silly if he comes back. He can be a first-round pick. And like I said, Kyle Guy's going to come into the season as a preseason All-American. So the talent is there. So that is always going to be the style that ranks, having talent and having NBA talent.
Yep.
That's usually a big part of any national championship run. And I think when they were pushed by Texas Tech in a game that went back and forth, they rose to the occasion. And they said, okay, yeah, we can play this speed if we want to because we're such an efficient team.
Yeah, they had over 70 possessions and still scored 1.2 those possessions. So I think it's a good point. Myron Metcalf, I kind of feel like when you said that their style is efficiency, and you know, I will say I fall victim to it, that I look at Virginia and say, oh, the style is going to be, you know, limit possessions, slow the game down, which is a part of it, because if I'm going to be more efficient than you, then I want the least amount of possessions because I don't believe that you're nearly as efficient. And so I don't want a lot of possessions to where you can be less efficient but get more shots than me, and now it's the same. I understand that strategy, but it kind of feels like when you say that as opposed to, you know, the style is just to slow it down and take the air out of the basketball, it reminds me of Moneyball. That came out with Michael Lewis and the A's, and that, you know, we view Moneyball, and I think a lot of the view was, well, it's about taking walks and it's about on base percentage, but in reality it was about deficiencies in the market. And the cheap part of that team was, well, nobody was paying for on base percentage. They were paying for home runs. Well, okay, well, the game is to not get an out, so let's pay for on base percentage defense and let's move some guys around, and it worked. And so it was just simply, where's the deficiency in the market? Where can we take advantage of that? I not maybe, you know, completely directly apples and apples, but just when you said, no, their style's efficiency. It's not just slow it down, it's being efficient. It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to win, and I think we're smarter today. I mean, it's not 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when it was all these high-volume scores. The reality is, like, a lot of the people that we admired back in the day who were great scorers were also very inefficient. You know what I mean? And that's why, when you talk about the greatest players of all time, Michael Jordan just transcends everything because he was great, efficient, he was everything. But when people go LeBron, Kobe, what's the comparison? LeBron was more efficient. I mean, he's more efficient. I mean, that's the thing. Carmelo Anthony was a really good scorer, really good offensive player. Go break down his numbers and how inefficient he was. So now I think in this age, we're starting to look at folks who seem like heroes because they were volume scorers and volume shooters. And we realized that they were just people who took a lot of shots, and they weren't necessarily great players or efficient and effective athletes. And I think that's why in this era it's easier to appreciate a Virginia, because I think that's the way that basketball is changing in terms of how we view it.
Yeah, Myron Metcalf's our guest, and I just to piggyback on that, the last five national champions, Myron, four of those five have been all ranked in the top 20 of effective field goal percentage. The only outlier is North Carolina in 2017. They ranked 115, but you had Duke in 2015 was number four. Villanova in 2016 was number eight. Villanova last year was number one. And Virginia this year was number 19, which, you know, seems like it's not necessarily on par with the other three that won it. But from 2002 to 2014, Virginia's percentage this year in effective field goal percentage would have been top 10 every one of those years. And that's sort of just the way the game's going. Is that part of it, that we're seeing a different style of basketball, that teams that are more efficient and, you know, take better shots can also knock down threes with efficiency as well, that those are the teams that are now cutting down the nets?
Yeah, I mean, that 27 North Carolina team remember, they had the highest offensive rebounding rate in America. So the shots they were missing, they were getting and putting back. You know, that was their strength. But yeah, I think teams are more efficient. They're just smarter. Teams are taking threes and hitting them, but they're just replacing those silly 17-foot jump shots, you know, which really don't mean anything, which are pointless. All the numbers and analytics show that you're better off trying to take a three than trying to take a shot just inside the three-point line. So you're seeing that, and then you're seeing a lot of emphasis on paint point. Basically, the space between the paint and the three-point line, just like the NBA, teams are trying to eliminate that. And the ones that have done it successfully, they win. But go look at the number of teams that are shooting threes in terms of a percentage of their offense.
Yeah.
It has dramatically increased in the last decade.
Yep.
And it will continue to do that. So, you know, we've got the first time in my life I watched the national title game, and there was a long stretch where there was not one true big man on the floor for Texas Tech or Virginia. I've never seen that.
Yeah, and
like, that's how the game has changed.
Absolutely. And the last two national champions, Villanova last year and Virginia this year, played a total of 425 minutes in those games, Myron. Seven of those minutes were played by anybody taller than 6'9".
Exactly.
At 425, I mean, it is crazy. And even Villanova, their first championship, had Ochefu that was, you know, 6'11", and he played 30 minutes, but that was it. It was four out, one in. Like, even if you throw that one in there, you're talking about, you know, 625 minutes that are played and, you know, 40 total minutes of somebody taller than 6'9". That was playing for that championship team. So, yeah, you're seeing the spread them out, be more efficient. And also, it does as well, and this is where I think Tony Bennett adjusted as the season went along, with less Jack Salt and more Diakite, and Diakite's play also helped him do that, is that he became much more of a I would say maybe a versatile defensive team that can switch on so many different guys that Hunter can switch off and Diakite can switch off instead of having that sort of big lumbering guy in the middle that Jack Salt was.
Yeah, I mean, Diakite, if you go back and watch the Texas Tech tape and you watch DeAndre Hunter on Culver, who they just couldn't free him up, right?
Right, yeah.
And a big part of it was, if you go back and watch those ball screens for Culver and you watch Diakite hedging, he's quick, right? He's a big dude, right? But he's showing up there. So he is making sure that Culver knows you don't have a lane here.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to just drive on me. My arms are up, so you're not going to have an easy passing lane as well. He did that throughout that game, making sure that you knew he was going to be everywhere he had to be on defense. And I just thought he was so important to that whole Virginia run. He will never get the credit, but his mobility, to your point, was just really, really important.
Myron Metcalf from ESPN is our guest. A couple of quick ones and then the Final Four. Looking forward to next year. Kentucky looks like they are consensus top five in the way too early top 25s.
No, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, right, I know. Looks
first
like
time in a long time, huh?
That is true, that is true. It's an odd spot for Cal to be in. And Louisville sitting in the top 20 of almost all of the top 25s and in the top 10 of a couple of them as well, obviously depending on decisions that are made. How good do you think those two teams can be next year? Can Kentucky be a team that you're looking at and saying, all right, if Hero returns, this team could be number one? And for Louisville, if they get Jordan Wara back, I think we're talking about vastly different expectations of this Chris Mack second run.
Yeah, I think both teams can be, you know, top five level teams at the end of the season for different reasons. I think you get Hero back, who, you know, for me, honestly, go get your money. I mean, it's a league that is just falling in love with guys who can space the floor. And I know there's a lot of stuff for Hero to work on, but he's the kind of dude who's going to go to a workout and make 45% of his threes.
Yeah.
And I think prove that he can hit that shot consistently, he's gone. But he comes back. Clearly that's a team that can be number one. You know, Hagen's coming back and what he's been able to do defensively, if he can become a more consistent scorer. I mean, this feels like a typical Cal team. And then I look at the big guys. Everyone's talking about the guys coming in, the Hero coming back, you know, but if you get EJ playing better, putting some more weight on, getting stronger, and Nick, I mean, you get those guys, to me, becoming more effective players, that can be a benefit as well. And I think Chris Mack's only problem this year was he didn't have the talent to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And look at what he got out of that team. I still keep telling people, this is a team that is 10 minutes away from us having a completely different perspective on who they were. If they close out against Duke, which they should have, they're not on the seed line they were on. They don't end up facing that Minnesota team that got hot late, beat Purdue twice in 10 days, playing for their lives, playing for their coach, Richard Pitino, to keep his job. To me, that changes everything for Chris Mack and that team. So you get Jordan back, you get the incoming recruits, all those top 100 guys. I think Chris Mack's going to have more talent to do the kind of stuff he wanted to do. I mean, his frustration to me, you saw it in that Duke game, you saw it in other moments, you saw it against Minnesota. I just don't have the dudes yet, you know? But it ain't the coaching, it ain't the scheme. It's getting more talent in there, and both teams can end up having a really strong run.
Myron Medcalf from ESPN. Final four time for you, Myron. Four quick questions. Just tell me the first thing that pops in your head if you are ready.
Okay.
All right, more impactful if they return, Tyler Hero to Kentucky or Jordan Wara to Louisville?
Tyler. I mean, Tyler could be he'll be a preseason All-American if he comes back.
Yeah, I agree. All right, now that Tony Bennett's won the championship and at least made a Final Four, who do you think the coach now is with the most pressure entering next season?
Man, Mick Cronin? Is that crazy?
I mean,
I know it's his first year, but it's like you're the dude behind the dude behind the dude who was behind another dude. And those folks in UCLA are anxious. So I don't think he has to win big right away, but I think he's got to prove that he can be a long-term option. Shaka Smart ahead of him, though. Let me say that. Shaka Smart, yep, number one.
That's a good point. Yep.
Sure. But Cronin's in that mix.
No, Shaka's a good one. All right, who has success quicker along those lines? UCLA, USC as an overall athletic department, or the Lakers?
Man. Can I say a no? Is there an option D? Because they're all in such bad shape, man. The Lakers have LeBron, and there's still a chance they get another max player. So I'll go with them,
all right,
I guess. But they're all a disaster.
Yes. All right, and last but not least, who wins the championship next year?
Next year.
Who wins?
I'm trying to get through the week.
Nope. Who wins it next year? And we're going to write it down and say Myron Medcalf, even next year when it goes into April. Myron said that, you know, that he thought, you know, that, you know, Cal State Fullerton was going to win the whole thing. I don't even think they play basketball regardless.
Michigan State over Kentucky in the title game.
All right. That would mean that Tom Izzo would actually win the fifth game of the tournament. That would be a nice change for him as of recent results. Myron Medcalf from ESPN.
Man.
Myron, I appreciate you, sir. Have a good day. Be safe. And go get your bread and milk before the real snow comes down.
Oh, I already did. I already cleaned them out. I was there this morning. I don't mess around.
Good for you, man. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man.
All right. There's Myron Medcalf. Did we already talk about this? Why the bread and the milk is the thing that everybody goes and gets? Like when the
we've had that
hitting.
Conversation like once every winter. It's unusual that we have it this far in the spring.
But I always forget it. Like we have it, and then I'm like, and then you know it happens again. They're like, why do we always get?
I kind of feel like it's that story that you tell your wife. It's like, did I ever tell you about that time I was out with my first girlfriend? And she's like, no, I never heard that.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't tell that story. But why would I tell that story? Magic, not married, says, it's like when you tell your wife, remember that story about the time I was out with my first girlfriend? Oh, you don't remember it? Let me tell it again. It's such a good story, I keep saying it over
and
over.
If I've learned anything from my dad, it's that never tell stories about your exes.
Yeah, that is a very good lesson to learn. It's a very good lesson to learn, because you probably don't want stories about their exes, right?
Oh, it's a complete one-way street. He likes to tell the stories because it's reminiscing about his glory days.
Oh, yeah,
whenever
glory
mom brings
days.
Up, well, there's that guy I dated. There's that one guy I dated that was a drummer in Texas. Oh, you got to talk about that. I'm not good enough for you.
yeah, I wonder if Locke goes down that road when the Masters and golf tournaments get here with glory days of that. Did you hear that this morning, that Locke's first ever round of golf he ever played in his life was at Augusta? Dave's the voice right there. That's the most privileged thing I've ever heard from anybody in my life. That is honestly, right? Like, but no. First round of golf, I don't know. I played it at, something called August or August A, August, Augusta, Augusta, Augusta. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. And I walked over a bridge. It was not a big deal. It's fine. Cool. Man. You know what you should be telling stories about all the money you can win with horse racing coming up, and you know the Derby right around the corner. It is Thunder coming up on Saturday. Thunder Week. Boy, that snuck up on me that it is Thunder on Saturday. You know what I realized Thunder was Saturday? Was when Process texted me on Monday to ask for Saturday off. Hey, man, it's my birthday, and we're going to go to Thunder. Can I get Saturday off? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it's Thunder. Not a big deal. So you know Derby's right around the corner, man. TVG, horse racing fans, they've got you taken care of. Keeneland's already open and rolling Friday. Drew's got a horse that he owns 1.7% of that's going to be racing on Friday as well. You need to start figuring out what horses you're going to be picking. What you can do, though, is download the TVG app today or go to www.tvg.com/Jason for this exclusive offer. TVG is going to double your first deposit up to $100. That is within 15 days. And there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, TVG will give you an extra free $20 to bet so you can play with 220. And they've got all the other cool stuff at TVG. You can put it into the Apple TV, Fire Stick, all of that stuff as well. The most exciting time in horse racing, $100 within 15 days. Code Jason. Age and residency restrictions apply. Void where prohibited by law. See full terms and conditions at tvg.com/Jason.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.